We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I am your host today, Jared Timms, and I am joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, Nate Green. Nate, how you doing?
I don't know. I haven't processed this yet.
As am I allowed to quote Moneyball? If you're just tuning in, you've missed a lot. That's how it feels. I know I sent that to you as you got done with your game, but I mean, it's true. Like, if you tuned out of social media, if you tuned out of baseball for a night, you've missed a lot. Like, it was the trade deadline. It was, I don't even know how to explain it. It's an incredible, and it's probably still going to happen. I feel like I have to forewarn everybody. We're speaking at 8:30 at night. There are still negotiations going on. Like, Max Scherzer hasn't signed at the beginning of this podcast yet. He could have signed at the end of this podcast. He could have signed this morning, if you're listening to it Monday morning. I don't know, but it's been an absolutely crazy, crazy, crazy day in the baseball world, and I don't know really where to start. I know where to start, but Nate, from a baseball world standpoint, how exciting was today? Like, it was a good day of baseball, huh?
Yes. There's a little bit that's exciting about it, but there's a little bit of reality check also. You got to understand, like, the reason why all these moves are happening is because the lockout is most likely upon us, and these guys want to have their contracts done before the lockout happens. So, yes, you're super excited about all the moves. Yes, you're super excited to see baseball be in the news, but you're also kind of a little bit worried about the next couple of days and what could happen with a potential lockout.
Oh, 100%. Like, enjoy what we're seeing now, because it's going to be tough. It really is. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I don't think we can sugarcoat it. It's going to suck. It really, really is going to suck for and if you're listening to this and saying, man, what's going to happen with the podcast? We're going to continue to go on. We're planning about getting on a whole bunch of guests talking about everything baseball. I'm just excited. Honestly, the lockout's going to suck. It really is. Cause that's imminent. That's going to happen. And it's an unfortunate thing, but don't tune out of Talking Halos, guys. Just keep hanging with us. We're going to have on a whole bunch of guests. The news might not be there, but we're going to talk a lot of baseball. We're just going to talk a lot about a lot of things. We're going to have players come on. We're going to have writers come on. We're going to have front office come on. We're going to have, you know, anybody that's baseball is going to be on here. And I think we're going to try to do it every single day. So if you guys want to join us, you know, go shoot us a message on Talking Halos on Twitter at Talking Halos. You can shoot myself a message at Jared_Timms on Twitter, and you can shoot Nate a message at NateGreen34. Don't forget to follow us on any of those places. Leave us a review on Apple or wherever you're listening to this, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. So Nate, let's get on to the big Angels news. That is, the Angels signed starting pitcher / reliever / utility man. I don't know what he's going to be. We can talk about that in a second. Michael Lorenzen to a 1-year, $7 million deal Let's get the initial thoughts here. Nate, how are we feeling about this?
Well, it's pitcher. I think Joe Maddon's going to be really, really thrilled with him, just knowing the way that Joe loves to use about 100 different lineups and make sure that everyone on his 26-man roster is used. So I think that you could see him pinch run late in games. I think you could see him as a defensive replacement, especially in games that Ohtani pitches where Ohtani could hit. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how they use him because the way the Reds used him over the past couple of years is basically what I see the Angels doing, except I see the Angels giving him every opportunity to start. I think Michael Lorenzen was pretty adamant about that going into negotiations this offseason, saying, I want a chance to start. I started in the minor leagues. I want a chance. And I want to go somewhere where they're going to give me a chance, and I think the Angels are going to do that. I think they're going to give him every opportunity to start. And if he succeeds, then great. And if he doesn't, well, he'll turn into a middle relief guy for us and, you know, a $7 million middle reliever. So excited, but also a little, I guess, cautiously optimistic, right? That's your word. I got to use it. So I think that's the way we're going to go with this one.
Cautiously optimistic. I never thought that you would say that, but I love it. I love the versatility. Like, I don't know if I can compare it to this, but Michael Lorenzen might be like the pitching equivalent to like David Fletcher, Ben Zobrist in a sense, because I don't know how Joe Maddon's going to use him, and it's going to be a super interesting, you know, plot going into spring training, whenever that is, going into the regular season, whenever that is, of how Michael Lorenzen gets used. And it worries me though, because we talk about this all the time, Nate. You know, when you have question marks going into the season, that's not a good thing. And when you have question marks about Shohei Ohtani, which I feel like we always have question marks about Shohei Ohtani and what his ability is, and now you bring in another guy that's very similar to Shohei Ohtani. Michael Lorenzen is not Shohei Ohtani. Do not quote me on that. That's not it. But Michael Lorenzen throws really hard. He hits the ball really far. And, you know, he's going to be a lot of fun. He's absolutely yoked, jacked, by the way. Like, this Angels rotation, the biggest rotation in baseball. It's really cool to see that between Lorenzen, Thor, and Ohtani. Like, that's a scary little bit of rotation. You're not charging the mound on those guys. But yeah, you know, I'd hate to say it. I'm going to steal your word. I'm cautiously optimistic about Lorenzen. I know that's not a fair, you know, thing to say, but like he could, I'm excited to see what he can do as a starter because it's the mindset thing, Nate. We've been there. It's like, just give me a chance and let me show you what you can do. Actually, funny that we mentioned this. I did this all the time in interviews over the past like 3 months. I was like, I know I'm not qualified for this position, but give me a chance and let me show you what I can do. Finally, it worked out and, you know, it's working out good. But yeah, you know, I'm intrigued to see what Lorenzen can do. I'm intrigued to see how they use him because this is the most Joe Maddon signing that you can do. It's David Fletcher, it's Ben Zobrist, it's Shohei Ohtani, it's the weird stuff that Joe Maddon loves to do. And I know that you watched it a lot in Chicago, and you know it's we're watching it a lot now. I know Maddon loves to see what happens in the 13th inning with Griffin Canning pinch running or somebody like that. And I think with this, we're going to see that even more, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be – he's going to love when Ohtani starts because those days where he's able to let him hit and there's going to be no DH, he's going to be like, oh, don't worry. I'm going to let Lorenzen play the outfield or I'm going to let Lorenzen pinch run or pinch hit late when Ohtani goes five innings scoreless and then take him out because of, you know, they're cautious with him or whatever. And Lorenzen's going to pinch it about the eighth inning. It's just going to be one of those things where it's like, all right, where are we going to use him next?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Like, it's a cool storyline, to say the least. And the fact that Fullerton High School, you know, what, 5 miles north of Angel Stadium, Cal State Fullerton, where he was a center fielder and closer there for the Titans. It's a cool story, regardless. And I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's sad. It is a very sad story. But go look up Michael Lorenzen on YouTube. Watch the home run that he hit. That's an amazing story. Unfortunately, his dad passed away, and his first game back, Lorenzen goes yaya to dead center field off of somebody. I feel like that was pretty good too, like up there chucking. I don't want to say it was Aroldis Chapman or anything like that, but it was somebody really good, and it was a cool story to see that. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting story, to say the least, coming down here in the next couple weeks, but I'm cautiously optimistic to go back to it. So Nate, this, you know, starts it off, you know, with the questions here. Bullpen, or is he a starter? I know we kind of talked about this already, but let's get a for sure answer down.
I think they're going to give him every opportunity to start. I see him as the penciled in 4 or 5 guy until he proves that he can no longer start. And I know I gave you this comparison off the air, and you're going to hate me for it, but Trevor Cahill, that was kind of the first thing that came to my mind is, you know, the Angels kind of thought the same thing with Cahill. Like, hey, we're going to give him an opportunity to start. If he's really good, great. Awesome signing for cheap. And if he's not, well, he's going to be really good for us out of the bullpen. And I think that's kind of what the Angels are saying here.
Well, I'm not going to hate you. Everybody's going to hate you. Just going to let you know. Like, I don't hate you for that. I thought Trevor Cahill was fine in San Francisco. Like, I like the signing. It's just something with the water in Anaheim.
It's different.
I get it. I know. It's another 1-year deal, by the way. So let's talk about what's next for the Angels moving forward here. You look at the rotation as of right now. If you put Lorenzen in the rotation, it's something along the lines of Ohtani, Syndergaard, Sandoval, Lorenzen, like I just mentioned, and I think you got to put in Suarez in that sixth spot. I don't know what you do, Alex Cobb. I don't know if there's room for him at the moment. I don't know what the deal is, but you know, it looks like at the moment you got 5 starting pitchers. I know a lot of pitchers came off the table today, and is probably going to come off the table as you guys are listening to this on Monday. But it's interesting. The Angels' rotation is, I don't even want to call it cautiously optimistic at this point. It is a cautious mess in a sense. You don't know. Ohtani was a good, very good pitcher last year. Very, very good pitcher. I don't know what Ohtani is going to be like. It's 130 to maybe 150 innings from him. Syndergaard's on a pitch limit. Sandoval's coming off an injury. We don't know where Sandoval's going to be. Do you put Detmers in the mix? That's a question mark, though. I think that if Detmers is in the rotation, that's at least a plus because you're getting him some major league experience. Bachman's got to be in the mix. I think he gets every opportunity to start in spring training. And Suarez, I think, earned a spot. So let's talk about what's next for this rotation or for the Angels in general.
Yeah, I think they definitely are going to go out and look to get another starting pitcher. I think all the reports say that Robbie Ray has not met with the Angels, and I know the Angels are one of the top teams in Robbie Ray's mix right now, especially since the Blue Jays got Gausman. I think they're going to move off Robbie Ray. You know, the Giants could pivot and go towards Robbie Ray. The Dodgers could pivot and go towards Robbie Ray if they lose out on this Max Scherzer thing. So I think Robbie Ray is the next guy that people are going to be like super, super interested in following him 24/7, kind of like Kevin Gausman for the past, you know, 4 or 5 days, where it's been like a lot of Angel fans, a lot of Blue Jay fans, a lot of Giants fans. They're all like, what's Kevin Gausman doing? Is he eating right now? Is he on the phone? Who's he on the phone with? What team? What is he doing? Is he, you know, they wanted to know what time he woke up this morning. It felt like they wanted to know everything about Kevin Gausman's life. And I feel like that's what Angel fans and whoever misses out on Scherzer, like possibly the Dodgers, possibly the Giants, a couple other teams could be wondering the same thing about Robbie Ray here in the next day and a half.
Yeah, the Robbie Ray worries me just like the Gausman worried me. You have one good year of something, though. I really wanted Robbie Ray. I wanted the Angels to trade for Robbie Ray when he was on the Diamondbacks, and I think he got DFA'd with the Diamondbacks, so that's in the back of my head is always a worry. Whatever the Blue Jays did, tip the cap to them, because that's special. And then, yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. I'm all for. I think the Angels aren't done in the rotation. You can't be done if you think you're putting out a winner next year. You really can't be done. You need another pitcher, whether that's Stroman, whether that's, I know Rodon's in that same mix. Whether it's Rodon, whether it's Robbie Ray, whether it's somebody we're going to talk about in the next upcoming minutes. You know, I just don't know. You know, I'd love to see the Angels go get a shortstop though. That is for me what I think is got to be up there is you need to build around a shortstop as well. Whether that's Story, whether that's Seager, whether that's Correa, I think it just makes too much sense that they're going to go out there and get a shortstop. I know we mentioned it a lot of times in the past, but you know, it just makes too much sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely, Jared. I think shortstop's going to be something they're going to be really looking forward to. First shortstop off the board today, or yesterday, I guess, since this is Monday. But yeah, first shortstop off the board, and interesting a little bit about how much money, and I don't know if that makes things worse or better for the Angels that one less team needing a shortstop is off there, but they're also going to be able to compare contracts. So yeah, I think Robbie Ray, Corey Seager, I think those are the next two moves, and it's one of those things where if they miss on Robbie Ray, I think they shift towards, you know, Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, possibly a Trevor Story, something like that. But I think the first thing, order of business, is going to be Robbie Ray, and then they're going to go from there.
Yeah, no, I am in agreement with you there. I think if it would be crazy if they just went out there and went Robbie Ray, Marcus Stroman type of thing. That'd be kind of cool. Except in the back of my head, I want Stroman. I worry about it. I know we've talked about this, and I've been, you know, conflicting on this. I love Stroman. I love everything about it. I think that'd be super cool if the Angels got him. That's just me, though. I know a lot of fans want that, too, and I want to see the fans happy as well. So, yeah, on to, I guess, a little bit more Angels news, in a sense. Linked to Luis Castillo, who I know you have always wanted. I know that's, you know, a Herman Marquez thing, too, but you know, the Angels have had preliminary talks with the Reds about Luis Castillo. It's going to cost a lot, guys. Don't say I didn't tell you so. But if the Angels go out and do this, it's going to cost a lot. And it's going to cost an arm and a leg. But I guess if that's what it costs to get pitching and maybe go and extend Luis Castillo and make him your dude from now on, it's not a horrible thing if you look at it. So, Nate, Luis Castillo, I know you asked me about what a Luis Castillo trade looks like. I'm sure you have something in the works of what you think Luis Castillo's trade looks like, but let's talk about it a little bit more in depth. What do you think? Do you think Luis Castillo is a good fit in Anaheim?
Do I think he's a good fit? Absolutely. I mean, he's a top of the rotation guy. He's been really good for the Reds. Even in his down year, it was, you know, this was probably his worst year that he's had in 3 or 4 years with the Reds, but it was really just 1 month that was bad. If you look at his numbers after the first month and a half of the season, he was one of the top pitchers in the National League. Do I think that this report is a joke? A little bit. I think that this report was thrown out by somebody to try and entice another pitcher to come to Anaheim. I don't know if it's Scherzer. I don't know if it's Robbie Ray. I don't know if something like that, but I think that this report was thrown out there to try and get another free agent pitcher, because knowing that the Reds came out a week and a half ago and said, you can call, but we're not going to talk about Luis Castillo. Like, nobody's going to be able to meet our demands. Our demands are going to be astronomically large. We're going to be looking for 3+ top 100 prospects, and it's just not going to be worth it for anybody. So I think that this report is really out there just to entice maybe a Max Scherzer, like, hey, you know, you come here, we'll do whatever it takes. Like, we've talked to the Reds about Luis Castillo or, you know, Gausman or whoever it was that they were really trying to woo. I think that that's what this thing is. I don't think that it's real. I don't think the Angels have enough, honestly. Like, I don't think the Angels have enough to get this done. That's just my opinion.
I do think they have enough. I do, but like I said, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg, you know, looking at it.
But with the roster they have and the amount of money that they've spent already, to say that a Luis Castillo trade makes them done for the offseason, because you go get Castillo right now, you're going to go give him a monster deal. He's going to get 5 at 125 minimum. And are you going to be able to say, we are good enough with this team right now with no shortstop? You're probably giving up one of your outfield prospects, so Adele or Marsh. So you're going to have to go get another outfielder. Are you good enough with saying that this roster plus Luis Castillo minus probably Adele or Marsh, most likely Jeremiah Jackson, who is not in the fold right now, Reed Detmers and maybe Sam Bachman and then another piece? Like, is that, are the Angels that close where that deal gets them a World Series?
No, absolutely not. I don't think it is. However, if no, the Angels are not that close yet. I think that they are. No, that's where I got to stand on that. No, I don't think they are anywhere near close to winning a World Series that they need to go out and trade for Luis Castillo unless the right deal comes along. Because, like you said, it is Bachman, it's Detmers, it's Adele, it's the house. It really is. Now, are the Angels trying to win now is the question. Is that the question you're asking me? Yes, they are trying to win now. That's the thing about it, though. You know, like, and I would be I don't like this trade unless it falls into their lap, because I am, like everybody knows, I'm a big advocate for the farm system. You know, the big thing for me with the Syndergaard trade was, or with the Syndergaard signing was, the Angels lost a draft pick. You know, the Angels lost they lost a second rounder. They lost $500,000 in international signing money. You know, like that's a lot for me if on a 1 year deal. And you don't know if you're going to get Luis Castillo back. So yes, I'm in agreement with you. I don't think the Angels are close enough to make this trade yet. And I don't want them to make this trade. I think it's interesting, but I think they need to go a different direction than this. And that's for sure. And I know we have a lot of rumors to discuss here in the next couple minutes, but yeah, you know, I'm with you on that one. So we mentioned it before. We'll say it again. We talked about Robbie Ray enough. There is somewhat of rumors that Robbie Ray is visiting the Angels at some point. They're having a meeting. Are there cars in the parking lot? I don't know if that's the meaning behind it, you know, but or what that means. But it's Robbie Ray is going to visit the Angels. And that could be the next big piece, you know, and it worries me. It does when it comes down to it. But the Angels need pitching. So you have to applaud them at least trying to go out and get as much pitching as possible. And again, we saw it today with the Michael Lorenzen thing. So I don't think you have anything more. Do you have anything more that you want to say about Robbie Ray? Because I think we've pretty much unpacked the whole Robbie Ray saga, correct?
Yeah, they just said that it's not close. I think that this deal with Robbie Ray gets done after the lockout.
Yeah, I think it's Disney's enticing to him. As weird as that sounds, I know he's got kids, and I don't know who said something about it, but it was pretty recent when it was like the biggest reason why we're coming to the Angels is because of my kids. It might have been Aaron Loop for all I know. I don't really remember. So let's get on to a little bit more news. Kevin Gausman goes to the Blue Jays. I think he got 5 years for $110 million. Just initial reactions to that, Nate. We don't need to really go into depth about that. I'm glad the Angels didn't sign him. That worries me, the 1 year thing. You know, he was a reliever in Atlanta. He was not good in Baltimore. The Giants turned him around and made him good. That's a lot of money for somebody who's been good for 1 year. And I was talking to one of a friend of our show here, Steven Risotto, and he was saying kind of the same thing as us. Like, you know, it's not a bad thing that Gausman walked from San Francisco. So I don't know if you're in agreement there with us on that one, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, very good for Kevin Gausman. Very happy for him. He's going to make $22 million. If I were him, I wouldn't have gone to a division and a team where hitting is such a prominent thing. You're going to the AL East where everyone hits, even Baltimore scores runs, and Baltimore's a last place team. So he's not going to have an easy night ever. He's been there, didn't really succeed in Baltimore. So I don't know. Hopefully he's fixed. But yeah, that's a lot of money for a guy who 1.5 years of being really good.
Yeah, you know, like we mentioned, it's tough for that. So final thing here, Nate, before we get going, the Texas Rangers. Oh man, dude, what a day for them on Sunday, huh? Simeon, John Gray, Cole Calhoun. I mean, no, Cole Calhoun's not huge, but I mean, you can get three players in a day like that. I know they spent a lot of money on Simeon, and the years are going to be interesting, and that worries me with Simeon. But, that, man, did they just become contenders in the AL West?
No, I think there's still another pitcher away. At least one starting pitcher, and then they probably would like to get a couple relievers. I don't think they necessarily need a closer because they had some guys, Barlow threw the ball pretty well for them. And then I believe they get Lecrae back and guys like that. So I would like to see them go out and get another starting pitcher to help with that rotation, maybe make John Gray the two with Dunning and Spencer Howard, and then A.J. Alexi. That's a pretty good 1-5 if they can go get a Marcus Stroman or a Robbie Ray. And if I'm a free agent pitcher, I want to go pitch in Texas. It's not the old Texas where it's ball in the air, ball gone. Like the ball, it does not fly there, especially when the roof is closed. So that's one thing where if you're looking at wanting to put up some good numbers and, you know, put some things in your contract that say, if I'm an all-star, if I'm a Cy Young candidate, like, Texas is the place to go. Just look at Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn went from being a very average pitcher to, like, one of the most hot commodities in baseball from a pitcher standpoint. And, yeah, so I think they need to go get one more arm and one more and two or three relievers, but they're close.
Absolutely. It's the AL West is the door is closing quickly, and the Angels are behind that door. That's for sure, and it's tough to watch it happen. The Angels need to make some moves here real quick. So, Nate, we'll wrap this one up today. Any final thoughts before we get going?
Yeah, I think a shortstop wouldn't be the worst move in the world right now, knowing that they missed out on a couple key arms. I'm assuming they're going to miss out on Max Scherzer. I could be wrong, but as of right now, it looks like they're going to miss out on him. So making sure that the Astros don't get another shortstop and making them get younger, I think would be a huge, huge, huge thing for the Angels trying to compete for the AL West. It looks like Oakland's trying to rebuild. If they can block Houston from getting someone, and it looks like the Twins re-signed Byron Buxton, so the center fielder that they were hoping to trade for is not likely to happen. It could be their window could be pretty much closed, and it could be a Rangers, Mariners, Angels fight for the division if the Angels do this thing correctly.
Absolutely. It'll be really interesting to see. I think the Angels can definitely jump in there and become favorites in the West. So, yeah, guys, schedule here for this week. If something happens, we will get a podcast out on Tuesday or Thursday. Next podcast, though, if nothing happens for the Angels, will be Wednesday for us here at Talkin' Halos, guys. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and give us a review wherever you are listening to this podcast. You can follow us on social media on Twitter at Talkin' Halos. You can follow myself on Twitter at Jared_Timms. You can follow Nate on Twitter at NateGreen34. If you want to join us for Talkin' Fans, shoot us a message wherever you are listening to it. And guys, thank you so much for listening and have a great rest of your day. We'll be right back.